in you, God. We hope in the resurrection and the return of our King. You are the hope of our life. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor in this place. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we just bless him? Just bless his holy name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We bless you and we magnify you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. Great are you, Lord. Your name is greater. Higher is your name than any other name. No name can compare to that matchless name. Not even the angels have a name such as yours. Greater name. Greater name. Greater place. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, while you're still standing, I've got an opening scripture, but I'm not going to read that because I got something else come up on the inside of me. Isaiah 53:1 says, "Who has believed our report? To whom of the arm is the Lord revealed?" I wonder if there's any in here tonight, you've gotten a bad report recently. Turn the house lights up for us if you would. I want to be able to see. If you've gotten a bad report recently, I want you to raise your hand. A bad report recently. Raise your hand where I can see it. Yes, yes, yes. I got a better report for you. Hallelujah. Jesus took your bad report and nailed it to the cross. Whose report now are you going to believe? He says there, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender root, and that root out of dry ground. No form nor comeliness. In other words, he wasn't beautiful to look at. Just a man, not knowing he was God. But verse 4, surely he has borne your grief, your bad report, the sorrows, the disappointments. Yet we did esteem him as stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed." That's God's report concerning your situation right there. It doesn't matter what the report was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just ask you, whose report are you going to believe tonight? You've got a choice to make. You can believe either one you want. Thank God for, you know, whoever gave you, if it's a doctor, they're just telling you facts. But thank God, truth is always changed by the changes facts. The application of the truth changes the fact. Facts change all the time. There's a clock back here. Every second, the fact of what time it is changes. But God's word never changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, yes, hallelujah. If you raised your hand that God, you got a bad report, I want you to come up here, line up right over here on this line. Come up here. If you got a bad report, you raised your hand, I want you to come up here right now. Had several that raised their hand. Hallelujah. His name is power. His name is higher. Glory to God. His name is greater. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and come over there. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I looked at somebody earlier in the service, the Lord said something to me, but I don't want to embarrass them, so I'm just going to say this here. You might be here in this service and life hasn't gone the way you planned it. You and your husband, or you and your spouse, your wife, things just didn't work out for whatever reason that is, and now you're facing a new reality in life. But I heard the Lord say this: don't get in a hurry. You've got hope. Don't get in a hurry. You've got hope. Some folks, all you know, they want to get in a hurry and change the situation just for situations change. God has His hand on your situation. And if you could see the plan He has, oh, how you would rejoice. And you shall rejoice. And your family shall rejoice. And yes, your children shall know that God is good. And there shall be a greater restoration than you could ever imagine. Oh, not necessarily relationship, but a restoration of the dream, restoration of the hope that's set before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if that was you, just receive it in the name of Jesus. Just receive it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all things. We give you glory and we give you honor. Glory to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated if you would please. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 6, I want to read beginning in verse 9. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. You know, it's interesting that, you know, I don't know why some churches, and that's their thing. I just don't understand why they're doing it. Hopefully they think they're following the Lord, but why you'd ever want to quench the move of the Spirit of God in any way, shape, or form. Now, you know, the move of the Spirit's not necessarily, spectacular or wild, or you didn't have a move of the Spirit just because you ran or just because you jumped or shouted or that, but you know, the gifts of the Spirit being in operation and the things of the Spirit of God, we need that all the time, not just in our services but in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we thank God. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. And I don't know I'm so thankful for, you know, this place, Rhema. It has been the stability of our lives for the 35 years now that I've been a Christian, 36 this summer. Thank God that God got me hooked up with this ministry, His plan, His purpose, and these books and cassettes. And ever had to do the pencil trick on cassettes? And how many of you could take it apart, tape it, get it back together? You know, Brother Hagin sounded a little bit different after you did that. But you know, you could get it. You know, you didn't want to lose. Boy, I'm telling you. You went out and bought that special screwdriver, dude. You could get down inside there and take that, you know. Those tapes were, oh, man. But now, you know, and those CDs and now DVDs and now MP3s, and that's probably behind the time. There's other, you know, things you can fill your phone up with teaching and just stay. It's the stability, has been the stability of our life. And I thank God for it. Thank God for everybody that's doing great things for God. But this is where God placed us, and I can see the benefit of staying around people who are open to the move of the Spirit of God and being around that, because you don't know when you're going to need that type of thing in your life. And then it's also a great blessing as you minister and as God leads you and guides you. You know, it's not just for the church service now, okay? These things are for life. You know, wouldn't it be nice to have a word of knowledge concerning someone that you meet that God tells you, hey, they have this going on, and if you'll say something to them about it, I'll tell them I'll take care of it for them. Amen. That's hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, he uses that a similar phrase to that. And Rose, it's okay if you don't put it up there. But Hebrews 3, verse 6 says, but Christ is as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hope. I was looking in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and one of their word wealth for the word hope says this: hope, not in the sense of an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation. You know, some folks are optimistic, but Bible hope is optimistic, but it's based on a foundation. It has something backing it. He says, but in the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty. Confident expectation based on solid certainty. Biblical hope rests on God's promises, particularly those that pertaining to Christ's return. You know, 1 John 3 says, behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it talks about, we don't know what he would look, but when we see him, we will be like him. And whoever has this hope in him purifies himself. That hope of his return, confident. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are confidently expecting it to take place. Why? Based on biblical evidence. Says, so certain is the future of the redeemed. Now listen to this. So certain is the future of the redeemed that the New Testament sometimes speaks of future events in the past tense as though they were already accomplished. Glory to God. I heard a minister talking about calling things to be not as though they were. And they said something very similar to this. It's speaking of future events with as much certainty as you do the past. Amen. Now we know, for instance, you know, and we know here, and I'll do this to honor Pastor Marvin, we know who won the World Series this last year. The Kansas City Royals, right? Okay. But you can't speak in faith, because you have no evidence necessarily on who's going to win the 2016 World Series in baseball. All right? But concerning the things that the Bible talks about, we can talk about future events as if they've already happened, because we've got evidence. All right? Now that evidence is hope. Hope. And so he goes on to say in their definition, hope is never inferior to faith, but is an extension of faith. Faith, I like this, is the present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in grace's future accomplishments. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, show the same diligence, verse 11 here in Hebrews 6, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Bible hope will always take you to the end. It will never leave you short. It will always take you to the end. I'll tell you what, I'm going all the way to heaven. I don't know what how this life, but hope's going to take me all the way there. Not just up to the gates, I'm going through the gates. Hope's taking me there. Not only there, I'm going to go in and possess a mansion, dwelling place for me. And I'm going to spend eternity with my Almighty God. Amen? See, I've got that hope. And I speak of it as if, you know, sometimes you talk about heaven and you talk about it in such a way that you're almost there now. Why? Because you've got that hope. There's no death there. Jesus said, pray this way, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's reaching out by hope. Hope of what heaven's like, and then by declaring by faith that I have it now. All right, let's keep reading here. He said, be not sloth or lazy, but followers of them. Now, slothful people are those that have the ability, but they won't put out the effort. But he said, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. I mean, who's God going to say, I swear by God, I'm telling you? No. Who's God going to swear by? He is the greater one. So because there's no one else he can say, you know, he just said, I'm God, it's going to happen. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now we know from reading Galatians chapter 3 that the blessing of Abraham is the Spirit of God being poured out upon us. That's the blessing, that the promise, and it was made unto his seed, not as a many, but as a one, and that seed is Christ. And then later on he says, if any man be in Christ, he's Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he made this promise, and sitting in front of me right now, if just look around, is part of the result of in multiplying, I will multiply thee. We're part of that multiplication. And he's not done yet, glory to God. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. In other words, when you swear to tell the truth and hold truth, so help you God, you've sworn by God that you're going to speak the truth only, not going to speak a lie. And so men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. We might say it this way. Once the contract's signed, it's over. When you've taken the oath, you said, okay, yes, I agree. Then there's no more, when he says strife, it doesn't necessarily mean strife in the sense, but there's no more argument. We're not going to argue about it. We're not going to discuss terms any longer. It's a done deal. And once God said it, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, I am God, I am God. And the Bible says he is God, he does not lie. Once he said it, there's no need to discuss it anymore. It is a done deal. It's done. All right. Wherein God, he said, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Now that's you and I. We are the inheritors of the promise. The promise is given us. Now, you might, you might have been promised something in a will, a last will and testament, and when that person passes on, then that will goes into effect, and then you're going to receive your inheritance. You've been promised it, and you might even have made plans concerning about it. You know, some of you, if you know what it is exactly, you've started dreaming how you're going to use it. You know, maybe it's a painting that's worth a lot of money, and you've already found a place, and you're going to put that painting, or whatever it is. You understand? You started thinking about it. You started building an image on the inside of you possessing whatever has been promised to you. We need to do the same thing with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're dealing with pain in your body, Jesus bore our pain. You need to see yourself. Start seeing yourself, imagining life. Seeing life pain-free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What would I do if I didn't have this pain in my body? What would I do if I had all the finances that I needed? How would I, like Pastor Marvin said, what kind of seed would I sow? Not based on last year's reality, but based on what I see in the Word of God, what I see in the promises of God. How am I going to sow seed now? Amen. And that is so true. And farmers never sow based on what they got. They sow based on what they want to receive. Okay. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. That's you and I. The immutability, the unchanging It's never going to change. Of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchanging, immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. There is a hope. There is a, as he said, a confident expectation based on a solid certainty. There is the promises of God. The word of God is that hope. I think Pastor mentioned this morning, didn't he say like 32,000 promises? He mentioned that. I know that I've heard others talk about there's over 30, but promises in the word of God, where God said that he's going to do it. And you know, just like Joshua said in his old age, he said, I've not seen one thing of the good word of God fail to come to pass. It's all come to pass. Amen. You know, sometimes I think of Caleb. You know, he was 80, at least 80, when they went into the promised land. I mean, he's one of the elders there, and now they've gone in there, and he said, hey, I haven't gotten my inheritance yet. He went to Joshua and said, give me the mountain. He said, I'm as strong now as I was the day that we came and spied out the land. Give me the mountain. And Joshua said, go get it. And you know, Caleb took more than what really belonged to him. And he doled that out to others that didn't get any. See, if you don't want yours, I'll take it. Because I'll find somebody that needs it. Amen. Hallelujah. Fled for hold upon the hope set before us, laying hold of it. Like I said, hope will take you to the end. Faith reaches out and grabs it. Reaches out and takes hold of it. Amen. Now, how many of you had not had supper yet tonight? Okay. How many of you are hoping to have supper? Amen. Well, you know, the thing, now you can hope all you want, but until you actually maybe go to a restaurant and place an order, or until you pick up the fork, or whatever it is, until you make that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, hey, wherever you are, right? But until you reach out and actually do it, you can hope. But you're not, you haven't added faith to it. Faith acts upon what it hopes. That's why he said, if you have this hope that when you see him, you'll be like him, that we're going to see him face to face, then you start living like you're seeing him face to face. You purify yourself. In other words, you live like him. Well, if you have a hope, listen to me, you have a hope of being healed in your body, start living life like you're healed. Well, you know, now I've got, you know, first of all, we got to learn how to talk. Amen. While I'm at it. Well, this isn't part, well, I didn't think this was part of my sermon, but I feel impressed to talk about how we talk a little bit. You can't talk about your sciatic or your bad back or your, you can't claim it as yours. And be free from it. Because you're calling it yours. What is yours? No, what's mine, what's ours, what yours is healing. Amen. Start talking healing. All right. Now, you know how it is. You know, I know how it is when you're in pain or you're in that type of thing, and pain and where you're at. But you gotta stay on top of it. Are you gonna let life happen to you, or are you gonna make life happen? You see the difference? There's a big difference. You can let life happen to you. Que sera, sera, you know. Bless her heart, Doris Day. Sang that ungodly song. Whatever will be, you know. No, that's not biblical.
Amen.
We just don't have to let life happen to us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Dennis, you're not done yet. You're far from done yet. In fact, your best years are still ahead of you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was thinking about, you know, our hope that's set before that. We're not, you know, I got a birthday coming up here. And let's thank God for birthdays, but, you know, got one coming up here. And I'm still won't be as old as I am, as experienced as I am. as Brother Hagin was when Ramus started. I'm so glad he didn't coast to the end. He laid hold of the hope. Now I'm telling you, laying hold of the hope set before you is an aggressive lifestyle. It is doing things on purpose. It's not just, you know, getting up, going to work, getting home, going to bed, getting up, doing things over and over. It's not running the wheel in the hamster cage. That's not laying hold of the hope that is set before you. You know, the hamster's in good shape, but they haven't accomplished anything. Haven't gotten anywhere, have they? How many of you have lived a hamster's life sometime? I mean, you're running hard. I don't know about you. I've made a decision. I'm getting out of the wheel in 2016. I'm not running in anybody's cage in 2016. I'm going to run wherever God sends me. I don't care if the path may not look straight. It may be up the mountain, over the mountain, through the mountain. I may blow the mountain out of the way with my faith. But whatever happens, I'm going to run with God. I'm not going to run on the hamster wheel. I'm not going to let life happen to me. I'm going to make life happen. Amen? Glory to God. You know, this time of the year, you think about the future and you think about hope. Hope is future tense, but it is confidence, not just wavering. There in Hebrews 6, look at verse 19. He says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Not wondering, not wishing so, but it's sure and it's steadfast. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, the mind, the will, and our emotions. That hope anchors you. Because when everything around you looks like it's going wrong, when you get that bad report, you have to have an anchor. I remember several years ago, I found a book at a library book sale. And just the title of it intrigued me, and so I bought it. It was called A Nail in a Sure Place. And it's based on, I think, Isaiah 22, talks about where God said, I'm going to set him as a nail in a sure place concerning a king that was there. It was a prophecy. But that nail in a sure place, that there's an aspect of steadfastness to those who live by hope and in faith. There's not, you know, because it keeps you anchored. Folks, you know, life is not meant to be lived up here and then down here and then up here and then down here. Now, soap operas, that's how they're written. You understand, I don't think there's as many as there used to be, but you understand those up and down and up and down and up and down. Now, life's not meant to be lived that way. It's meant to be lived with God as you're set in a sure place, as you're anchored. So you have to watch your thoughts. Take your thoughts. Take them to the promises. How does that thought compare to this promise of God? How does that thought compare to what God said about my situation? You know, you look at things sometimes, you say, I'm not going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't have enough finances. But you know you've been sowing seed. You know you've been faithful. You may not have been able to put, but you know you've been faithful. When you had a quarter to give, you gave the quarter. When you had a dollar, you gave the dollar. When you got paid, you put your tithe. And you know it may not look like it now, but you know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. You know harvest time is coming. You've got that hope. Well, we need to learn to put the sickle of faith to it and start harvesting. And you're going to do that by claiming what you have need of. Amen. It belongs to you. That hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Oh, now he's talking about Jesus. Not that earthly veil on the earthly tabernacle, but that heavenly veil. inside into the very Holy of Holies. This hope, the promises of God come out of the throne room of God. And when we attach our confident expectation to them, when we have hope in the promises, it takes us into the very Holy of Holies of God and places us there. And we're surrounded by the glory of God and the presence of God. And there is no need unmet in that glory. He says that hope that is entered in within the veil, even Jesus, the forerunner is entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. On the earth, that high priest went in once a year into that Holy of Holies with not without the shedding of blood for the sacrifice, to sacrifice for the sins of the nation. But our high priest, Jesus, went in one time with his blood once only, so that now our sins are remitted to the end of eternity, and eternity never ends. This blood has totally, totally, totally done away with our past, and it has secured our future. Hallelujah. Jesus. And because Jesus went, we have this hope. And it anchors us. Anchors us. I'm looking for a return to an anchored life in the church, the body of Christ, this year. An anchored life. A life that's settled. And it's not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But we know that in these last days there's going to be a lot of that false out there. But if we're anchored to the promises of God and anchored to the Word of God and stay set where God has nailed us. Praise the Lord. Stay hooked to where God hooked you. When we do that, then we're kept in that secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings, where no evil shall befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. Oh, 1,000 may fall to our left, 10,000 at our right, but it won't come near us. Hallelujah. Now, we're not rejoicing when the 1,000 or the 10,000 fall. But we're kept safe under the shadow of the Almighty. But you know this, when you have hope, you live free from fear. Now, I have hope of heaven. I'm not there yet. You understand? I'm not there yet. I've seen glimpses of it. Where? In the Word of God. But I'm not there yet. I believe it's one of those, that is the definition. Heaven is the definition of above all that you could ask or think. But anyway, I'm not there yet. Hallelujah. But I know I'm going there. And when you have that hope, why would you fear death? I was talking to a healing. This person really is God using me in gifts of healings. I was talking to him one time. He said, you know, sometimes, he said, the biggest challenge I have is to talk people out of being afraid of dying. Because that fear will keep them from being able to exercise their faith. Because they're afraid to die. What are you afraid to die for, Christian? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, Paul said. I'm in a strait betwixt two. For to stay and be with you, or to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. So once you're free from that fear, then you can go ahead and lay hold of the hope set before you. You can live by faith. You're not afraid. If I do die, thank you. And you know, for you and I, it's just like taking off a coat. You just step out of it. You still, you know, you realize you gave the coat its action, its animation. It couldn't, the coat just, how many of you have a coat in your closet right now? Is it moving, doing anything right now? But when you put it on, what happens? It becomes, you give it life. Well, your spirit, our spirit man, on the inside of this body, this flesh, bone, and blood body, our spirit man gives this flesh, bone, and blood body, it gives it life. But when that spirit man leaves, this body is going to crumple. But that doesn't mean when you take the coat off, you didn't cease to exist. When you take this body off, you didn't cease to exist. In fact, how many of you feel like when you take a coat off, how much freer you are now to move around? You think that's free? Wait till you take this body off. We're going to be free to move about. Hallelujah. Free to move about, free to give a shout. Glory to God. Amen. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, anchored by the Word of God, steadfast to the end, laying hold of the promises that are set before us. Glory to God. And I believe this is something that all of us go back and review. These aren't new things. These are things that, you know, others have talked about before, but just really jumped up out of me as I was meditating on this service, this subject of hope. There's so many other places we could go, but just this section of Scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's live an anchored life this year. Not just this year, but from here to eternity. Let's live an anchored life, anchored in the promises of God. Never swaying. All the waves will come. You anchor your boat, waves come against it, but you stay still. That anchor holds. And I'm telling you what, this anchor will hold. Yes. Amen. The anchor of Christ Jesus will hold, glory to God, through the storm. Storms of life come to everybody. But when you're anchored and you have this hope set before you, you're going to endure the storm. You're going to come out on the other side victorious. And you're going to gather up all the spoil on the other end. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. We hope and trust, confidently expect all of the good word of God to come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for this year as we look forward to all that you have. As Pastor encouraged us this morning, to use our faith to take hold of that which is promised us, what the enemy's tried to steal from us, to lay hold of it, to protect it. Father, may we be anchored in the Word. May we be anchored. And Father, may we have a move of your Spirit that we've not seen heretofore. So much has been said, Father God, concerning these days that we live in. You spoke through men and women by your Spirit that in the last days, not only in the Word of God, but even since the revival in Azusa, all those over 100 years ago, you've been speaking concerning these days, that in the last days, all the moves that have come since the day of Pentecost will come together in one final move and push. And we'll see multitudes and multitudes and multitudes come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for it. We're not willing to leave these to the devil. We're not willing to leave them to hell. We want them. We claim the heathen as our inheritance, Lord. Give us the lost, Lord. Give us the lost. Oh, God, give us the lost in the name of Jesus. Those that don't know you, give us words to say. Let us be salt. Let us be light in their life. Let us be that lighthouse that shines, points out the danger of the road that they're on, and brings them safely into the safe harbor, that they may anchor their boat of their life, be kept safe through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you honor and praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's all stand together as our prayer team comes. Hallelujah. After we dismiss, if you need prayer in any area, come on up here. Our gentlemen will be on my left, your right. The ladies will be on my right and your left. You need prayer for anything tonight, come, they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. And we know that you'll be blessed by that. If you are here for the very first time, if our connections team would find those folks that were here for the first time and take them to receive that gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, who I believe are in Oklahoma City tonight. Is that right? They're ministering at the church there. On behalf of them and the staff and the church here, we invite you to go to that place with them and receive that gift. All things good? Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night, Hour of Power.